I'm excited to talk to this guy. He is, I can't state it anymore. He is the Andy Dufresne to my Red. He is now down at Sewatanejo. And here I am, still sitting in the confines of Shawshank Prison, laughing with my friends all about the good times that we had with our buddy Andy Dufresne and our buddy Hoop. And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's now a writer for Let's Go Tribe, live from Sewatanejo. Hoop, are you there, buddy? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up?
How are you, brother? It's been a minute.
Good, man. I don't know. Were you inferring that when I finally got out of the 92.3 studios that I was standing in the rain with my arms stretched looking to the sky?
I imagine,
I'm like that, man.
I imagine you more in the convertible going across the border with your hair flowing and all, sending us letters along the way, letting us know you're all right. And those letters are now the fact that you're writing on Let's Go Tribe. And it's really good to read you again, and you can catch him there. He is Alex Hooper. All right, buddy. So let's start with your Trevor Bauer piece that you wrote here, which I really enjoyed the title of, which is that, once again, Trevor Bauer does suck right now by his standards. Hoop, why does Trevor Bauer suck right now?
Well, first of all, it's nice that Trevor says everything that he – not everything that he does. It's nice that Trevor says most of the stuff that he does, because then you can write headlines like that, because he said it. He can't be mad at me for writing it. So, you know, he's missing over the middle of the plate too much. And that's a really, really reductive answer. But for a pitcher in the day of the long ball, you just can't do it. And I think he's just struggling with location early in the season, especially with his slider. You know, the slider was, that was the thing last year. I remember writing about it ad nauseum about how he was adding to it. And, you know, we asked questions about it, and that kind of changed the game for him. Cause once he had that sweeping slider going to the left that he could pair, you know, with his fastball, it made his fastball so much better. He had said his fastball sucked for a long time. And, you know, you had that hard, sharp breaker to the left, you know, to the glove side. And then he's always had that great curveball. So I think it just set up his repertoire so nicely. And this offseason, he worked on that changeup, which now, you know, it's another off-speed pitch that looks like a fastball, kind of like the slider. And this time it's breaking in towards his hand, but he hasn't been able to locate the slider yet. So he's not been able to play off of it. I mean, the slider's getting barreled at like a 25% rate. And if that's your go-to pitch, then naturally you're going to struggle. Yet still, he's not been awful. I mean, the hard contact rate against him has not been awful. His big issue has been walking people. So if you walk people and then you give up the hard contact on your best pitch, then naturally you're going to struggle. But it's just a matter of locating that thing. And once he locates the slider, you know Trevor, he's good enough to where he's going to be able to play everything else off of it so well, and guys are just going to be dancing up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like. And it's kind of funny because in the beginning of this year, it's almost looked like this weird merger of old Bauer and the newer Bauer that we've been seeing of the last
exactly.
2 years. Like, it's almost been
exactly.
this like weird, like, okay, my stuff is pretty good. I'm able to somewhat locate it, but I'm still walking a whole boatload of people, and I'm still striking out a bunch of people, and I have 120 pitches through six innings. And, like, it's just this weird merger that's taking place with him.
Right. Statistically, what really changed last year compared to the rest of his career was the walk rate went way down and his home run percentage was just way, way down. I mean, that was what truly made him great last year. He just suppressed the long ball. You do that in 2019, you're going to have a pretty nice time. So those are the two things. And while he's not giving up a ton of home runs, it's kind of back to where it was earlier in his career, and the walks have gone up. That's really all it's been to this point. He's just a different pitcher when he's not walking guys or throwing meatballs. If he's locating semi-well to as good as he did last year, hitters by and large can't touch him consistently. Occasionally he'll miss, and big league hitters will make pay for it. But by and large, he's not going to miss and then miss to the next guy and miss to the next guy. So unless you're hitting homers or just walking off of them, it's hard to get a whole lot of momentum going against him, and he's given up a little bit of momentum this year.
It's kind of seemed like the entire team has been in that same boat, that they've given up just a little bit of that momentum throughout the entire season. And so this might be the hardest question that I'm going to give you, because you also wrote a phenomenal piece about Oscar Mercado. But is help on the way, man? Or are we just kind of looking at this and crossing our fingers and hoping that some of these lotto tickets actually begin to pay off?
Well, we're getting to the point where you're starting to see that they're not. I mean, Carlos Gonzalez, first of all, I mean, he was in decline against righties anyway. He's never been able to hit lefties very well, but he was already very much in decline against righties. So this was just, hey, let's get a veteran guy in here and, like you said, lottery ticket. But it's getting to the point where I don't know that he's helping you much more than, you know, a rookie would. So I expect there to be some movement here soon. I don't know how much longer they want to ride with Cargo. He's done some great things, and when he's done them, they've kind of saved games individually. But when you have so little going on offensively, it doesn't take much to save a game. So I'm not trying to take credit away from him, but he's still been kind of the guy you expected based on where he is in his career. So, yeah, at some point you got to do something. And I don't know. I've written about Oscar Mercado as much as just about anybody, and I think very highly of the kid as a person and as a player. I don't know that he is going to turn your whole season around. The reason that I wrote about him coming up as opposed to Jordan Luplo recently was because of everything that he could do. He's got the speed, he's got the fielding, and then the hitting you hope is about league average. I think he's capable of all of those things. Since coming up, Jordan Luplo he's got middle range speed, but defensively he made that big time throw, and he hits the two homers against the White Sox, which win you the game, you know, in five innings. So he's done just fine. And I don't know that Mercado necessarily would be an upgrade over Jordan Luplo, say, if he kept his form for the rest of the season. If he did what he's doing in this little stretch since he came back up and does it the rest of the season, I don't know that Mercado's going to give you much more than that technically. But at some point, I think he's going to give you more than Cargo or Tyler Naquin, who's had some moments well. But as far as going out and getting someone else on top of Mercado or other than Mercado, I think you're just going to have to wait till the trade deadline. And I don't know that this team has that time this year. I don't know that the Twins are going to keep up their torrid pace, but even so, getting out to the lead that they have, you're not in the driver's seat anymore. Statistically, yeah. Probabilistically, you're not in the driver's seat. And at some point, you need to make a move for now. I don't know that they can wait until the trade deadline.
Yeah, you're right. He is Alex Hooper of Let's Go Tribe. He's live from Say Watanejo. Is Mercado, can he give me better than what Leonis Martin is giving me right now? Because in the beginning of the year, I was the biggest Martin defender on the face of the earth. He was barreling up balls. He was driving it to all fields. The speed was there. The fielding was there. And now that's all headed south. So can at least he give me something that maybe I could stick him in center field and tread water?
I mean, yeah, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The thing with Leonis is he is what he is, and when you traded for him, it was fine. When you traded for him, you needed a plug-and-play center fielder who could give you solid defense out there and hit above the league average, and I think that's what Oscar Mercado will be. Now, there will probably be growing pains. At the same time, when rookies come up, a lot of times, before the book is up on them, they are able to excel. So maybe he gives you a little more in the meantime. But I can tell you, he'll sure as hell give you more against lefties. And with such a left-handed lineup, that might be pretty nice to have. He and Luplo out there, as opposed to just like, hey, here's our righty. He's going to complement our switch hitters nicely, but then everyone else is a lefty. But the problem with that is you don't want to bring Oscar Mercado up to tune him. And I understand that completely. I understand all the reasons they're doing the things that they're doing. But I think it's almost to the point, like I said, where you can't keep riding with that and you have to try to light a spark. And I think Mercado can do that. And, you know, with Leonis, you don't want to give up on him completely. But, I mean, you can put him in left field and keep him in the lineup and still have Mercado out there in center field. And then all of a sudden, you have a really nice-looking defense. And sure, you still have the hole on offense, but at least you've upgraded a little bit. And then it also takes Jake Bowers out of left field, where he's not been great defensively either. So you're still upgrading quite a bit, just in less tangible ways.
Yeah, and Jake Bowers is, you know, he's kind of been a bit of a pleasant surprise along the way. He hasn't been as good as, you know, we all want him to, and sadly he's going to forever be connected to Yandy Diaz, but
right.
He's at least been a nice addition so far in his whole thing. It seems like he's going to continue to get better. Are you kind of seeing that same thing out of him? He's just going to continue to get better, and he's younger, and he's a piece for the future. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I mean, all of his numbers, not all of them, but most of his numbers comparative to the whole 96-game stretch he played for the Rays last year, they're pretty much better. He had that torrid stretch when he came up, and then he got really bad. So those really evened out. But he's been about that so far. The thing that people need to remember with Jake Bowers is the reason that he was scouted so highly, the reason that there was so much hype about him is because he went to every level at a younger age than most people, and he really excelled. And that's one of the top things that scouts look for in prospects, is how do they do at different levels compared to their age groups. And he excelled at every single one. He's still only 23 years old. And that indicates a lot of room for growth. Most guys don't come up until they're about 25, and that's when they've not necessarily peaked, but that's when they're ready to go. And he's been ready to go since last year. He's had growing pains because he's so young, but he's excelled at every other level. There's not a whole lot more for him to prove except at the big league level. And you have that with Luplo. You have that with a couple of guys. But especially with Jake Bowers, if you're going to look at a 35-game sample size and say, I can't believe they traded Yandy Diaz for this guy, I understand your frustrations currently, but as far as a long-term piece goes for extending the window in Cleveland, it makes a lot of sense. And as far as a kid who could potentially grow into, you know, maybe he's a 250 guy who hits 30, 35 home runs, I think everybody would be enthralled with that. But he's still a year or two away from that being the expectation, or, you know, expecting him to have hit his logical peak. I understand why everyone wants to win this year, because the way that this team has had to handle their finances, you can't bet on next year anymore. So I think you have to take these numbers with some sort of grain of salt, not necessarily that you know he's going to get better, but there is just a lot of room for growth with him, as opposed to another guy like, say, Yandy Diaz, who's in his late 20s.
You're right. All right. I need to get to the hard question. I need to get to the one that I've been wanting to ask you since I had you on. Have you recovered from Spurs yet? Have you recovered from the Champions League victory? Are you breathing?
I locked myself in a bathroom at work because I just couldn't deal. By being a professional sports writer, if you want to call me that, for the 2 year stretch that I was, you learn to be pretty objective. And being a Cleveland sports fan for the 26 years prior, I learned not to get my hopes up. And that's why I chose Tottenham as my favorite team, you know, that I could root for as a fan, because they were gone, they weren't in Cleveland, I didn't have to be too objective, but they also felt like a Cleveland team. And boy, if I wasn't a fan for those last 30 minutes, and I couldn't fully let out my emotions, but I did almost cry at my desk right as it was time to leave. I'm so surprised.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Ask me. Yeah, I thought she was going to be like, are you okay? I wasn't.
That's beautiful, buddy. That makes me so happy. So how are you feeling going up against Liverpool for the Champions League final? How do you feel?
Same sort of, like, how did we feel in 2016 when the Indians were going up against the Cubs?
That's a really good point.
That's kind of how I feel.
I understand, buddy. I totally understand what you're talking about. This is the big one.
I expect a similar result as well.
Well, I mean, hopefully one that's a little more one-sided so that you're not stuck in a bathroom.
Well, I'll be at a bar for that one because that's actually on a Saturday. So hopefully I won't be in a bathroom. That's the worst place to be at a bar.
100%.
But I might be with 50 to 100 more people just sharing in my complete misery, or, you know, I might get some joy in my life for once.
A lot of hugs all over the place. Hoop, you're the best, buddy. This was fun. Thank you for calling from Say Watanejo. I appreciate it, man.